To put a bookmark there of some kind in 1 Kings 17. Well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But I'm going to start out reading in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. So those two places are 1 Kings 17. Put a bookmark there. Then turn to Exodus chapter 20. I'm talking here again this morning on this series here called God's Best for Your Life. This will be the last of two messages on finances. I've entitled this morning's message, God's Plan for Financial Freedom. God's Plan for Financial Freedom. And last week, we talked about having wisdom in finance. I really believe that through this two-part series here on finances, that some people in our congregation are going to start making some adjustments, perhaps, in your finances, start seeing yourself on the track of having financial freedom take place in your lives. That God is going to cause your world to turn upside down in the realm of finances, to start seeing yourself not just a lender only, but also being one that actually lends money out to people, or a borrower only, but one who lends money out to folks around you as time goes by. God wants to be the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. God wants to be those that are lending out, not just borrowing, but things that are actually causing us and costing us interest in our lives. Amen. Also, I said last week to try to think about this plan that's called the 10-10-10-80 plan. This means that the first 10% of all we have, the Bible says in Malachi, bring that full tithe into the storehouse. There might be food, the Bible says, for my children. Test me and prove me, he said, in this. If by not bringing the first 10% to me, I can't open up the windows of heaven to you and pour out such a blessing you can't even receive and contain what is poured out in that blessing that God releases to us. So the tithe is not just for the Old Testament. It's also found by Jesus Christ himself. He told the Pharisees, he says, you Pharisees give a tenth of your rue, cumin, and all these spices and so forth, but you leave out mercy, you leave out love and sacrifice and all those things. He says, you should be doing the former, but not leaving the latter undone, or vice versa. Do the latter, not leave the former undone. He's saying there again, the tithe is still for the New Testament church as well as it was for the Old Testament church. That first 10% belongs to the Lord. Then the next 10%, the 10-10-80, the 10% in the middle, talked about how we can use that hopefully for debt reduction. Any debts we have, especially on credit cards or high interest loans, put that 10% perhaps in an aggressive way towards those loans. Then some folks here that are totally out of debt, your credit cards are at a zero balance, your cars are paid off, and all debt has been wiped out. That 10% then can start going towards savings. Then once savings starts getting higher and higher and bigger, and you find yourself with a couple of $1,000 now in your savings account, you can then start investing some money then in things that actually brings higher interest to you than your 1% savings account might do at some bank here in town. Amen. And so you find yourself going from being in debt to having savings to go into the realms of investing as time goes by. Then the 80% is used to live on in your lives. And I found that many people, as time goes by, God will bless them so mightily, they find themselves giving out up to 30-40% of all they take in, living on 60%, sometimes even 50%, because God starts increasing in their lives so much they can do that in their lives. I found also that money is something that has been sometimes over-spiritualized, but also many times under-spiritualized. Both extremes are not good extremes. Amen. What do I mean by under-spiritualizing finances or money? What I see is takes place sometimes is a man perhaps, let's say, receives $1,000 a week in his paycheck. In that $1,000, he puts that $100 perhaps in giving some realm of the tithe of a local church or a storehouse that God places on his heart to give into. In an under-spiritualized type of world, this man says, well, I had $1,000, now I've only got $900. That's how he sees it. I worked real hard, I sweat real hard, I think real hard, I got my degree, I went to college, I studied and so forth and so on, and I saw that I had $1,000, now I've got $900. $100 is now gone of my hard-earned money that I worked for so hard. That's under-spiritualizing the realm of finances in your life, because that 90% left over, that $900, what God's word tells us is that $900 is going to go further than the $1,000 would have went had you given nothing at all to God. Amen? Because that $100 you give in obedience to God, actually God releases things in a spiritual realm for us that starts rebuking the devourer for thy namesake in our behalf. And he starts bringing to us realms of blessings, realms of increase, realms of wisdom. God starts doing things in the supernatural world that we cannot do ourselves by being obedient to his word, not by legalistic religious bondage, but by being obedient to what God says, putting God first in our lives. Now, the over-spiritualizing of money, the other extreme would be that if I do tithe and I do give offerings, that's a magic wand that will erase every single debt in my life very fast, very quick, automatically. That's the other extreme. Amen. God's telling us again, when you tithe and give in obedience to what God's word is, God then gives us also other facets of the realms of finances. Giving and tithing is only one facet of the whole world, the spiritual realm of financial, biblical giving and blessings in life. Amen. So understand, when you do pay your tithe, give your offerings, what God says is, I then start giving you common sense, giving you wisdom on how to take and use your finances to bring more and more increase to your life as time goes by. So paying tithes and giving offerings is not like a slot machine you pull the handle on and out comes all these coins every single time right back to you in the very next day. Amen. Now God may do that sometimes, some way, somehow, but normally what God does is God gives you ideas, creativity, favor, divine coincidences, divine circumstances, all these things God starts bringing your way. So increase starts coming to your life on an ongoing, regular, flowing basis in your life. So don't over-spiritualize money and think that money, giving your tithes, giving your offerings, guarantees you any house you want, any car you want, all the furniture you want, all the things you want can now be yours because I'm paying tithe and I'm giving offerings. We're going to talk about that more so in this service here, how God's got a plan for us for financial freedom to take place in our lives. Dave Ramsey, about credit cards. Dave Ramsey, the great financial guru, that's actually a strong Christian as well. This man was actually tens of thousands of dollars in debt, was facing foreclosure on his own home back in his late 20s. After being a multimillionaire, he made some wrong choices about going in debt too much, about finances and about real estate and so forth. And it all began to collapse down upon him, and he found himself getting dug out of a great deep hole years and years ago. And what he learned by God's word, by God's spirit, by God's wisdom, he now applies to millions of people all over America and all around the world. We all now receive wisdom from Dave Ramsey's teachings that God gave to him from his Bible, from the Word of God. So Dave Ramsey tells us, he says, the credit card has stolen the wealth of the middle class in America, along with car payments. Credit cards and high car payments have actually stolen the wealth of most middle class people in America today. The average middle class person in America has got over $10,000, $15,000 of credit card debt. They're making payments on cars that are sometimes upside down as far as worth goes. God's going to give us, I believe, in his words and principles even today about things like this to see how these things can be reversed. We're going to find things turning upside down for the better, I believe, in the realm of finances if we hear what God is saying to us by his word and by his spirit. Dave Ramsey also says, when you have a financial umbrella, it can turn the crisis you might face in life into actually inconveniences only in your life. He's found that every 10 years, on average, all Americans go through, about 75% of Americans will go through some kind of a crisis every 10 years at least in their lives. 75% of us. He goes, when that crisis takes place, if you have an umbrella there of savings and financial security, it becomes an inconvenience, not a crisis in your life. And that's what God wants for your life as well. Amen. The guy that founded Sears and Roebuck back in the early 1900s, he said back in 1903, he says, anybody who buys anything on credit is totally crazy. Now 100 years has gone by. Sears receives now more money on interest by their Sears credit cards than they receive by their merchandise being sold. How things have turned around in 100 years in that kind of realm. From going from being crazy to now making all their money, for the most part, most of it, from actually credit card interest coming in by Sears credit cards even to this day. So the Bible says, give, and it shall be given to you. That's only, again, one facet of what God's word says in hundreds of scriptures about money, about finances, about savings, and about having financial wisdom in our lives as born-again believers in Jesus Christ. We're facing right now very uncertain times, not just in our economy, but also around the entire world today. Economies are being shaken, being tested, being tried. Anything can take place any given day or week upon the face of the earth economically. And I believe God wants to be like a Joseph generation, being prepared when things take place and break loose in a negative realm around us in the days ahead. We're prepared for that. It'll not be a crisis for us. It'll be an opportunity for us. It'll be a time to shine brighter and brighter. Won't be a time to go through a time of being gloom, doom, and despair for believers. It'll be a time for us to say we are like those five wise virgins who had the extra oil prepared. So when the bridegroom came, they were actually ready there. Their lamps were lit. The oil was full. And they found themselves rejoicing in what God did upon the face of the earth when Christ came back. That's what God wants for us, I believe, also in life. So this morning, Exodus chapter 20, I'm going to start out there. I'm going to give you what I call some financial commandments from the 10 commandments found in Exodus chapter 20. These are things that are worthy, I think, to write down, to take some notes about this morning. Take these things home with you. Write down some quotes, perhaps. Write down some stats, perhaps. Let's see what God's Word says about the 10 commandments, how those parallel 10 also are four today, four financial commandments for our lives. This morning, I'm going to read the first four commandments found in Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse number 3, verse 3. Exodus 20, verse 3. And it says here, first of all, you shall have no other gods before me. So the first take-home point again today, like our brother Mike Hammond says, is number one, let's put God first in our finances. The first commandment for finances is put God first in your finances. Giving is not, again, the cure-all to all financial woes in your life. But what I found giving will do is what giving does is giving starts giving to us a supernatural ability to start seeing things the way that God does and start seeing things in God's Word, start receiving God's wisdom and how to see our finances getting turned in the righteous, godly way and finding God bringing some tweaking, some adjustments, and how God becomes Lord of our finances, not us ourselves being Lord of that, because we know we will mess up. But how many folks would believe and agree that God never messes up? Even also in the realm of finances for our lives. Amen? So the question this morning is, why would God, who has everything in the universe, why would God even ask us to bring the full tithe into the storehouse? This is not a message now this morning about giving to a church. This is about you getting into financial freedom yourself. And the first key here is putting God first in your finances. Why would God, who owns a cattle of 1,000 hills, who made the entire universe, who owns the entire world, the Bible says, why would God ask us to give him anything back in return? Well, the answer is God does not need one penny from your pocket. Amen? Because God has all things. But God is a giver. God is a servant. God says, you bring to me so I can bring back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, is what God's desire is for our lives upon the face of the earth. It says to us also here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Proverbs 3, 9 says, honor the Lord your God with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops or all your increase. Honor the Lord God with this. Look in the Bible. The Bible says there was Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel was, of course, the sons of Adam. The Bible says God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice, but he was displeased with Cain's sacrifice. Why is that? Abel gave the first fruits of his own crop and harvest. Cain gave God the leftovers of his meat. One gave the first fruits, one gave the leftovers, and God's just pleased with the leftovers. God wants the first fruits in our lives. Look also at Isaac. Isaac was a son, firstborn son of Abraham. And God told Abraham, I want your firstborn son laid on the altar, sacrificed to me. Give your firstborn to me. I am the Lord your God. Look at Jericho. Jericho is the first city Israel goes to conquer across the Jordan River. The first one, God says, march around the city. The walls come tumbling down, plunder the city. Do not keep one coin of gold for yourselves. Everything in that place belongs to me, says the Lord. The Bible says Achan sinned. Achan steals some silver, steals some gold. He steals some wardrobes and so forth, becomes cursed by that, gets stoned by that, gets killed by that, because God says the first always belongs to me. After Jericho, they plunder every city they came to, became very wealthy, very rich, but God says, always give the first to me. Let's look now at this final illustration, 1 Kings chapter 17, because there's one more very powerful story here about the first fruits belongs to God and how God blesses that, and how it also reveals God's nature to us, that God's a good God, a serving God, a God that wants to bless us, not curse us, and take things from us in the realms of finances and giving. This is a story here of Elijah the prophet, who's going through a time of famine. The Bible says all the folks are totally broke, they're poor, their crops have dried up. And so let's read 1 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 8. about the widow in Zarephath. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him and said, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon. Dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose, he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a morsel of bread also in your hand. And so she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in, prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and then die. Not very good. Not a good day. Verse 13. And Elijah said back to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it. Notice this word, first. Bring it to me. Afterward, make some then for yourself and your son, but give me some first. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Why do you think God sent Elijah to the most needy widow with a son that day? Because there's all these folks around that place that probably had plenty of oil. They had plenty of things stored up perhaps for the famine. But God says, go to the needy widow and try to receive some food from her. Why would God do that? The answer, of course, is because God wanted to bless her life. God saw the need she has. So God said, if she'll give me and put me first what she has left inside of her house, I want to make sure the bin of flour never runs out, the oil never runs dry. And the Bible says for 3.5 years after that, she was fed every single day, her and her son, all their lives. Amen. So God's showing us here again, he doesn't come to steal and kill and destroy. He says, bring forth the tithes, bring forth the offerings, that there might be food for the children, and there might be also blessings take place also in your life. You're going to also find, as you read this whole chapter later on in your own reading time, you're going to find that this widow's son actually gets sick and dies. And the Bible says, she tells the man of God, she says, Elijah, she goes, did you come to me to kill my son? My son's now dead. How many folks realize that God knew in advance her son was going to die? God sent Elijah to her to feed her, to help her out, but also to see that healing took place for the son when the son died of that sickness. Because the Bible says also in Malachi, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven to you and pour out such a blessing you can't even contain or receive all the good things I pour out in your life. Amen. So God is not just Jehovah Jireh for our food and our clothing and our shelter only. God also is our healer for our diseases in our bodies and by our life. In fact, if you put God first in your finances, it also opens up things to put God first in your life and all other areas of your life beyond that as well. It's a domino effect. Putting God first releases spiritual things inside of you that will bless your life on an ongoing basis. So moving along here at number two, second commandment found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 4. Number two is don't try to acquire happiness by material items. Don't try to become happy by things and stuff upon the face of the earth. Exodus 20 verse 4 says this, second commandment. You shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything in heaven or above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. God is saying to us here, don't let anything temporary on the earth vie for your happiness also upon the earth. Amen. I'm going to have Tyler back here put that picture up now if you would. This is a picture of a young man. I hope he's going to show. We all know this guy from us that are 35 and older. This is Ralphie. Very popular movie out. Every Christmas season is called A Christmas Story. How many folks know that Ralphie is dreaming about the Red Ryder BB gun? If I could just get the Red Ryder BB gun, I'll be the most happy young man on the face of the entire earth. This guy dreams about his Red Ryder BB gun saving the entire family from all kinds of calamities. He sees these bad guys, Bad Bart, comes in his backyard trying to kill his mom, trying to kill his dad. They've just washed his mouth out with soap from saying a bad word. They've spanked him. They've cursed him, done bad things to him. He's crying and bawling and whining. He said, if I can just have my Red Ryder BB gun, I can save my entire family from Bad Bart, and they'll love me once again. He sees total happiness coming to his life. He dreams here about this Red Ryder BB gun on Christmas morning being in his hands. I thought about here during worship time for some reason, just real briefly here, about his dad. What does dad get happy by in this movie? He won a woman's leg lamp. Remember that? I think God's trying to speak to us in that movie there about how times can change from unselfishness, save the whole family with your BB gun, to kind of a selfishness. I like her leg. I mean, his wife did not like that leg at all. She was unhappy. She was ticked off. She said, I don't like this thing. And he wanted to put the thing right there in the front living room window so all the neighbors saw the woman's leg lamp. Amen? And most guys haven't seen that movie yet. See it sometime. It's not a good picture, okay? This is back in the 40s and 50s probably as well. So it's very, very risque back in those days. And so what I'm saying here again is God's saying here again, don't let any temporary thing get you so enthralled. You must have that in your life or you can't be happy in your life. Amen? Like Cheryl was saying this morning, happiness comes from a word called hap or happen chance, comes from the same root word of hap. And it means, again, something that temporarily brings you satisfactions by just adverse or by various circumstances. Happenings, happen chance, happiness is all temporary. It's all fleeting. It will not bring you lasting peace or joy in your life. Amen? So no thing you have is going to bring you true happiness for a long time or even for a very, very long time in your life. This is also true of the poor and rich alike. All human beings have beady eyes that usually want something on this earth that's very temporal, very fleeting, very fitting, and they think if I just have that thing, my life will now become a happy life in many ways. Let's see what the Bible says about that. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20, I think it's 28 or 20. Proverbs 27, 20 says, death and destruction are never satisfied, and neither are the eyes of mankind. You can never get your finances in order if you can't get your eyes under submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because your eyes are always going to want something more, something more. If I just have that jacuzzi, I'll be very, very happy. You buy the jacuzzi? Well, I just now need an enclosure for that jacuzzi. Now mosquitoes are coming in, biting me in the arm and so forth. I need now an enclosure. You buy the enclosure. I need some landscaping now to make this enclosure look right. It looks kind of off right now. And you buy the landscaping. I need a pool now behind that landscape because it's all kind of flat back there and kind of bare. So I need a swimming pool. It goes on and on and on. It never seems to stop. And God says again, get your eyes under submission to the power of the Holy Spirit. Then God gives you his desires and his wants for things in your life. And again, things and stuff are not bad in themselves. Amen. God's not against your car, your house, your furniture, your clothing, your vacations. Those things are all a blessing in many ways to us. What God's saying to us, learn to have wise balance in your life. And buy those things you really can afford also in life, but let God be first also in purchases for big things, especially as your life is going by. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you actually have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, nor will I ever forsake you, says the Lord. What God wants in our lives above all else is when he's first, he's God of our lives, he brings divine peace, which means also divine contentment comes to us. We start finding ourselves actually enjoying nature, the trees, the house we live in, the wife we have, the husband we have, the kids we have. All these things are becoming very, very content in our lives when God is also first in our lives along with that. Amen. So I'm praying this morning that God gives us a spirit of divine contentment, a peace with things we have right now, then God may stir us up in due time to receive bigger things, better things, other things when the need is there in a real divine sense as far as God's kingdom is concerned also for our lives. Number three now this morning is be thankful for whatever standard of living God has provided for you in your life. Be thankful for whatever standard of living God has provided for you in your life. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 says this, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anybody guiltless who misuses his name. Now, unbelievers, we all understand in our workplace and movies and so forth, these guys will use God's name in vain, usually out of anger and unthankfulness on an ongoing basis. But how do believers actually use God's name in vain? How do we do that? Well, the answer is, if you start declaring and start claiming things like, I want that house on Lake Travis for $2 million in Jesus' name. I want that Lamborghini Contact, $300,000 in Jesus' name. And we start declaring things for the lust of our flesh in the name of Jesus Christ, like a magic wand saying, in Jesus' name, may it be mine. God is saying that's using his name in vain, because the word vain means selfish ambition. It means pride and arrogance mixed with selfishness all together. God's not again against nice things in life, but God is against us wanting things for our ego, our pride, so folks will envy us, to think our lives will be happy by those things. God says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. All these things I want you to have will be given to you automatically if you'll seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. Amen. So, where in the Bible can we find an angry, unthankful scripture? Because this talks about us being unthankful and angry sometimes and wanting things that don't really make God happy, perhaps, in our lives. It's found in James chapter 4. James 4, 1 and 2 is some kind of what I call angry, unthankful verses. James is the brother of Jesus Christ. He speaks here by the power of the Holy Spirit. He speaks in a very, very plain, black and white way here. James 4, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2 says here, what causes fights and quarrels among you? That kind of sounds kind of angry and kind of unthankful to me. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but don't get it. You kill, you covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. That sounds to me again like some unthankful, kind of angry type things. You do not have because you do not ask God. Now, many folks stop right there. But it goes on in verse 4 or verse 3 and goes on and says, beyond this now, and then when you ask God, you do not receive it because you ask in vain with wrong motives, that you might spend what you get on your pleasures. So God is saying here again that as far as God's concerned, motives are very, very important to the Lord. Amen. So God says you can have all the nice things you want in life. I want to bless your life in many ways, even tangible ways of what God's saying to us. But I want your motives to be not just for selfish pleasures or happiness. I want it to be also for yourself, but you're also your family and those around you to receive blessings also from your life. Okay, so I hope you see that. There's nothing wrong with wanting a nice house, nice things, nice stuff. But God is saying to us, make sure you see those things as tools to be a blessing to your life, your family's life, folks around you's life, and then take what you can afford to get, but also in the meantime, be content with what you have right now, and sometimes even lay those wants down at the foot of Jesus Christ himself. I'm going to ask right now this morning, just for a moment, to just think about something that you're right now, perhaps like Ralphie, you're pressing in for right now today, that Red Ryder BB gun. It might be a very, very expensive shotgun. It might be a big old house in some part of Austin or Round Rock or Pflugerville, Texas. It might be a great big fancy vacation. It might be a piece of clothing, a piece of jewelry. Think about that thing right now that all you guys may have in your brains you'd love to have, and you can see yourself smiling from having that. It could be a Harley Davidson. Amen? And I believe the Holy Spirit saying to all of us today, let's take that Harley Davidson, that ring, that vacation, that thing that'll make us happy, we think. Let's lay it on the altar right now this morning, the altar of Isaac, and say, Father God, take this thing right now. You take it. If you want to bring resurrection now to that thing, you raise it up by your grace, by your power, by your provision, by your spirit in Jesus' name. But in the meantime, I choose to say, thank God for what I've already got in my life. It is enough in my life right now. I love my car. I love my wife. I love my husband. I love my jewelry. I love my house. I love my neighborhood. I love my city. I love my nation. I am content with what I have right now. But if you, O God, would have even more than this, give me, O God, peace, confirmation, wisdom, and also, God, your grace to receive those things in due time. And I'm going to know that I know that I know it's time to jump on some things in life and your timing in your season in Jesus' name. Amen. That'll save a lot of you guys a whole lot of debt, a whole lot of interest, a whole lot of pain in the future. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans 1:21 talks about unthankfulness, how it opens up doors for evil to us. It says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified God or him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts actually became darkened." God says that unthankfulness creates deception in our life. That's why it's so dangerous to start griping, complaining, and whining about anything in life. When you do that, it opens up doors to deception, to darkness, to realms of lies being believed inside your own mind, inside of your own heart. Anytime you find yourself depressed, angry, discouraged, or whiny, I say, get out your gospels. Amen. Get out your gospels and give thanks for the blood of Jesus Christ that has saved you, redeemed you, baptized you, delivered you from a life in hell, a life of darkness, a life apart from God himself forevermore. Amen. I'm saying get your gospels out and give thanks to God for what you've got. We always have more to thank God for than to whine to God against. Amen. God hated whining and griping so much in the Old Testament, he kept the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years until they all died out because they griped, whined, and complained all the time about different things in their environment. And God says, quit griping, quit whining, start giving thanks. It'll open up to you guys windows of heaven in many ways. Number four, last of all, number four is come into rest with your finances. Come into rest with your finances. Dave Ramsey says, money is a wonderful slave, a wonderful servant, but a terrible master. Wonderful servant, wonderful slave, terrible master. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 says this, remember the Sabbath day, day of rest, by keeping it holy. The word holy means set apart for a divine purpose. God wants your finances to be at rest and become your slave, your servant, not your master in your life. When money becomes your master, it's a very, very bad taskmaster. It causes sleepless nights. It causes insomnia. It causes anger. It brings frustration. It brings divorce. It brings anger. It brings bitterness. It brings division. It brings all manner of things. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. So God says money must not be our master. It must become our slave. Think about the threes of finances. Again, those 10-20 rule I give you, or 80 rule I give you at the first of the service. Also, the Bible says one man sowed and one gained 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold of what was sown that was there. Also, I've done a message here in the past that's called living in survival or success or significance. Many folks in their money have got the realms of survival going on, getting from paycheck to paycheck, hand to mouth only in their living. God will take you beyond that to a realm of success for savings, then beyond that to significance for investing your money in due time. The number three is very, very powerful throughout the entire Bible, but also very powerful in the realm of finances. Are you married? I found that men are more risk takers than women are. Women are more involved in security. So men that are here, I'm saying beware of get rich quick schemes. Amen. Don't buy those penny stocks and junk stocks and things that are going to get you rich real fast, maybe, because you might find yourself losing your shirt also. Dave Ramsey says, those who take and live by the crystal ball will eat glass. That's what he says. So he's saying there to us, invest wisely. Ask God for peace, confirmation. Nothing wrong with the stock market at all, as long as God gives you a confirming word about the stock market. The man named Andrew Womack said on TV a few weeks ago, when I was watching him, he said, I was told by the Holy Spirit to buy a certain kind of a stock about 2 years ago. That thing is now quintupled in value as time's gone by. We found ourselves very, very blessed by buying the right thing at the right time, but it was totally by God's direction. So I'm saying ask the Lord God to give you wisdom, because God will do that in the realm of investing in your life. And write these last things down. As James comes back to the platform now, please, James. That is the word prioritize. Prioritize your finances. That means, first of all, God owns all my money. All my funds, all belongs to God. I'm only a steward of what God gives me in my life. Amen? So number one is prioritize. Say, all I have belongs to God. May you give me God wisdom and how to use this thing as a blessing to your kingdom, your people, my family, and my life, finally, in Jesus' name. Number two, Be a giver. Make sure something you get every time you get increase in your life, something goes right back out to God or God's people, God's work, God's desires, somehow, some way. Number three, get out of debt. I want to say again, get out of debt. Amen. I said last week, let's go do a thing called a plastectomy. Let's take those credit cards. Let's get those things down to a zero balance. Let's burn those things, melt those things, slice those things, dice those things, do something to those things. Do a plastectomy in Jesus' name. Get those things out of your lives. Amen. Number four, get on a budget, a written plan. I've got X dollars every month for food, X dollars for clothing, X dollars for gasoline. Get on a budget of some kind, write it down, a written plan, and stick to it in Jesus' name. Number five, learn to act your wage. Learn to act your wage. Amen. You're not making $200,000 a year right now. Quit living like that. Quit trying to impress your neighbors. Amen. If you had to get the same car for 10 years, your neighbor says, why are you driving that old thing so long? Just tell them none ya. None ya business. I am out of debt. I got this thing paid off. This thing is totally, I am debt free on this thing. I'm going to drive it for 5 more years maybe. But it's none ya. It's none ya business. I'm going to get myself out of debt in Jesus' name. And then last of all, save money for your future, because that's one way God takes care of you also in your future. Amen? Don't try to always wait for God to give you the magic wand thing to bail you out when things go bad in your life. Start saving now for your future. Your future will come faster than you think it will. Amen? So as we close in prayer this morning, I'm going to believe God today that God's going to help us to change our money habits perhaps in life. And by that, it might even change your life for the better. Number one reason divorce takes place in our country is financial problems, financial pressure. Financial pressure brings in anger. It brings in frustration. It brings in disappointments. It brings in depression. It brings in wrong thoughts. Brings in accusations. Brings in things that are all found in Satan's kingdom. God's kingdom says it's full of peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. It's hard to have those things in feelings, especially when we find ourselves up to our eyeballs in debt and financial pressure. So getting your house in order and finances is going to change your life in good ways. I believe that. The Bible's all about being proactive, not just waiting back for God to do His thing. God says, you do your thing, then I'll do my thing. You draw near to me, then I'll draw near to you. You do your part in savings and budgets and writing things down. I'll help you out with my wisdom, my grace. My handfuls of blessings on purpose will be there, but you do your part first. You show me you're serious, says the Lord. You be proactive. I'll do my part, is what God is saying. Well, our heads are bowed right now and our eyes are closed this morning. We're going to pray today. I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit gives us His direction for financial peace and freedom in our lives. We said this morning, put God first in finances. Don't try to find happiness in things and stuff that are temporal. Always give thanks for what God's already given to us. And get your rest with your finances. Have rest manifest in the realms of finances for your life. Father, I pray, O God, this day that you would be the one who speaks, O God, through my voice, beyond my voice, beyond this service, O God, every one of us, this congregation today. If we are those, O God, that are finding ourselves trying to find happiness, trying to find peace and rest by spending, by things, by prestige, by envy. Father God, the first thing we do right now is we repent. We say, Father, forgive us. Cleanse us. Break the spirit, God, of mammon off of us. Let greed, O God, be broken off our lives. Let us, O God, not be so concerned by what man thinks about us that we find ourselves totally in debt, trying to impress strangers, loved ones, and friends by the things we have. Father God, those that are already here today also that are out of debt, help them, Father, I pray, to find the right savings plans, the right investment tools for the future. Bring forth, O God, increase. Break the spirit, God, of fear and bondage and self-preservation off of them in Jesus' name. They won't find themselves withholding giving, withholding investing for fear of the future, O God. But I pray, give them, O God, wisdom to invest wisely, to save wisely, to give wisely but also in a generous way, Father, in these last days. The Bible says in the verse, I can't think what book this is, I'll find it later on, but it says that God pronounced a curse upon people in the Old Testament because they withheld giving in the last days, it said. They kept it to themselves in the last days. They withheld the people's pay, withheld people's blessings, withheld almsgiving in the last days. God is telling us perilous times, fearful times, demonic times will come in these last days. But he says, you fear not, for I am with you, says the Lord. In the time of famine, my people shall flourish in the house of the Lord. They shall be full of bounty, full of blessings, full of increase. They shall have more than enough. Because those who sow in tears are going to reap in joy in the last days. Father, I pray, God, today again that you give people, O Lord, wisdom in this congregation. Each one of us, wisdom in our finances. Help us, God, to seek counsel. Help us, God, to seek out books that are done by believers and Christians and wise people. How to get our financial house into order. Then, O God, place in us, we pray, divine disciplines. To say no to some things and say yes to other things that brings forth a financial plan, God, that leads us into a path of freedom and victory in the realm of finances. Father, I pray also right now today for those who've got themselves into any kind of a mess in finances. They can't see the way out. They're too far down, they believe. Let them, oh God, not become fatalistic and say it'll never get better than this. I will always be in debt. I will always have lack. There's a curse on my family. I right now bind and rebuke those words in Jesus' name. Because they are now children of God, sons and daughters of the Most High God. You are the God that has a cattle of a thousand hills, that you have all things, O God, stored up for us. But, O God, you say to us also, be obedient, be wise, use common sense, be patient, be diligent, persevere. You will overcome, says the Lord. In due time and due season. Praise you, Father God. Let's all stand to our feet right now. I'm going to ask again this morning, if there's anybody in this congregation that is feeling overwhelmed in the realms of finances, the realms of your future, you might be facing things that's causing sleepless nights and causing anxiety inside of your heart and life. The Bible says we are the body of Jesus Christ. We're here for each other. If one member suffers, we suffer right along with that. Amen. We want to be those that are here not to judge you, not to condemn you, not to put you down. We want to pray for you. We want to speak blessings on you. We want to be able to do things perhaps also that God leads us to do for your lives to help you out. If you be honest this morning here and say, I'm facing right now some financial pressures. I need to receive God's peace, God's strength, God's grace. Would you make your way out of your seat right now? Just come to the front. Just begin to stand up here if you would, just side by side. Any pressure you're facing in life at all, it's around finances. Just come to the front. I believe that God's given us an anointing at the first part of this service as well to see bondages broken. Some of you guys are facing not just financial pressure, but you're facing soulish things. There's things that God wants to take and begin to heal and close up, I believe, and bind up inside the soul. It's going to give you an ability to start saying no to some things that are temporary. And yes to some of God's principles, God's wisdom, God's grace, and what God's word says about your finances in your life. I'm going to ask some prayer partners again to go ahead and come to the front now, begin to stand behind these folks. If you're a prayer partner, if you're an intercessor back in the intercessory prayer room as well, go ahead and come to the front and stand behind some of these people if you do that. I'm going to ask the congregation that's here to reach your hands out right now towards these people. Some of you guys that are out there that are successful in business, successful in life and finances especially, you be loosing right now upon these people your anointing, your grace, your wisdom, your abilities upon these people's lives in Jesus' name. Let's pray right now for these folks.